Good morning.
Good morning.
I see everyone's got their coffee, their caffeine. I had some hotel coffee this morning. Wasn't very good, but I'm awake. That's what's important. So I'm glad that you guys are all awake. And so funny. We've been going through a topic called inspiration this month. I think it's this month. Correct me if I'm wrong. And the title, if you want to title this lesson, is Inspiration Through Preparation. And we're going to take a look at a story that I think would inspire all of us. And I feel like I can relate to a lot. Hopefully you guys can as well. The story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7. You know, have you ever felt inadequate or unable to do something?
A few times.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Thank you. Have you ever left thinking, how is God going to use me?
Right.
I think about my life, right? I recently graduated college. I have my own insecurities, my own sin that I'm dealing with. I'm thinking, I'm too young. I'm too inexperienced to do anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe Timothy felt this same way, which is why Paul wrote to him, right? Let's go, Timothy. And what we're going to see in this lesson is the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7. And that God wants us to go in the strength that we have.
Right.
Not because we're so mighty and powerful, but because God is just that strong. He can do that. And we're going to see how God inspires Gideon, theme of inspiration, how he inspires Gideon and prepares Gideon to bring him glory. Not ourselves, right? But to bring God glory. So I hope I set the tone, kind of set the stage for what we're going to be talking about this morning. But let's go to God in prayer. Amen. Dear God, thank you that we're able to come together this morning and just be inspired. I'm looking at the crowd and I just see a bunch of people ready to conquer the world, conquer the city of Jackson. Be with the campus ministry, God. Be with the young adults ministry. Be with the Jackson church so we can go out and inspire others to follow you. Jesus, in your son's name, amen.
Amen.
So let's start off in Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Let's set the scene for the story here. So it reads, "The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock in their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me.'" When I read this, something is made very clear. Sin leads to slavery.
That's right.
I was talking to a brother about this passage, and he's like, "You know Isaiah 59, right? You guys don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it." Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 2 reads, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear."
Wow.
Israel's sin has separated them from God. God has turned his back. We see this as a constant theme in the Old Testament, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there any sin in our life that is separating us from God? That's the question that I have to ask myself. So Israel is not in a good place. But that's okay, because Gideon is here to save the day, not on his own strength, but on God's strength, right?
Right.
So let's continue reading in Judges chapter 6, 11 through 16. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah, tried to find out how to pronounce that, I already forgot, that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." All right, there we go. That's the picture I'm looking for. So we got Gideon, right? And we have the angel of the Lord speaking to him. I'm a visual person. I like seeing pictures. I thought that was a cool picture.
Yeah, nice bathroom.
And I see here that God tells Gideon, after Gideon's like, "Ha, you got the wrong guy," he says, "Go in the strength you have." And as I was going through this lesson and reading this, I saw that it's not that God can use us. It's not that God can use the Jackson Church or God can use Gideon, but it's that he wants to use us. He even calls us mighty warriors.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing? That's how God sees us.
Yeah.
Is mighty warriors. Now, Chris Adams, he's got a lot of stories of a mighty warrior. Let me tell you, he's saving people's lives every day. I know you are, man.
Yes.
Same with Parnee. I mean, God is using Jackson to save lives, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? And he's using Gideon the same way.
Yep.
You know, I think this situation with Gideon is kind of similar to my situation moving to Jackson. I got recruited to play football at Mississippi College. And I knew that the church was small. I knew that the campus ministry was really small. And at the time, I didn't know that I would be the only one in campus for an amount of time. And I'm thinking, you know, God, are you sure you want me to do this? You know, when I got here, I kind of felt like I was lacking strength. I needed some direction, right? And I think the best way to find that direction is to stay obedient and to stay faithful.
Amen.
And we're going to see Gideon live that out.
Amen.
And God has called all of us. Not a lot of people here are from Jackson.
Right.
And he's called all of us here to conquer Jackson. Oh, just like Gideon is going to conquer the Midianites here, we're going to see here soon. And adding on to my story, I needed some direction, right? And I wasn't sure what God was going to do here in Jackson, being the only campus student. Sydney and I, we're studying the Bible with people. And then Tevin comes. God knew we needed help. He brought Tevin to conquer JSU, right? And then Parker comes, and then Parnee, and then Chris Adams, and there's more to the list, right? So many of us have joined the fight to battle against Satan.
Amen.
God can do so many great things if we just go in the strength we have.
That's right.
Because God is that strong. God is that powerful.
Amen.
And the more we read here, the more Gideon is going to realize that God has the strength to do what he wants. Let's continue reading, but we're going to start off here in verse 25. 25 through 32, we're going to set the tone because God is preparing Gideon just like he's preparing every one of us.
Amen.
To carry out his will, to bring him glory. Verse 25, that same night, the Lord said to him, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one of 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this height. Using the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down, offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family and townspeople, he did it at night rather than in the daytime. In the morning, when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished, with the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The people of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son. He must die, because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. But Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him, are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when someone breaks down his altar. So because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, let Baal contend with him. God is preparing Gideon. And what's interesting is that Gideon was afraid. He was a bit hesitant, but he did the Lord's will at the end of the day. Do we ever try and do something and we're afraid at first?
Yes.
We're a bit hesitant. When that tree fell on our house, I was a bit afraid, you know? I think our family grew closer because of it, but there are things in our life, right, that happen, and it can shake us up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In what ways has God prepared you to carry out his will and bring glory to him? We could see here that God is preparing Gideon. He says, tear down this altar. And his family, maybe not his direct family, it does say his family and townspeople, they want to kill him, right? But he still is obedient to God, and God takes care of him, going in the strength he has. Okay. God is amazing, and we're going to see what the Lord continues to say to Gideon, because this is where things start to get a little interesting. Gideon is getting prepared, right? He's had to kind of face some tension with his people. Mm-hmm. And he's already like, I'm not the guy, but I'll do what you say, you know?
Right.
And now we're going to see the plan of conquering the Midianites, the people that have been oppressing Israel for so long. So we're going to start off in Judges 7, verse 1. Let's hop into it.
Okay.
Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the men camped in the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Wow. But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from the cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go down. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. After, you will be encouraged to attack the camp.
Amen.
There you go. God is dwindling down the army. Oftentimes, I see that God's way of doing things is not the way I would want it done. If you're going to conquer a nation, an army, you're going to want as many people as possible, right? And he cuts the army by 99%.
Right?
300 people left out of tens of thousands. We have people drinking the water like this. These are the people that he's like, yes, that's what I want. And then you got people that are just like, you know,
right.
Dunking their head. He's like, no, they can go. And I think this relates a lot to when we want to study the Bible with people. Because you could study the Bible with people and they can be interested. There's a lot of people that were interested, right? But they're not committed.
Amen.
Right? We need to be committed to fight against Satan, to fight against what the world is telling us to do. I thought Parnit's welcome was so encouraging. To stand out from the crowd, even if what your friends are telling you to do, you want to do, but to be different, to be a light in the darkness. Sure. That's what we need to do, and that's what Gideon is doing here.
Amen.
Sydney and I, we studied the Bible with a lot of guys throughout campus. If one guy kind of fell off, it just kind of seemed like God just opened up another door to study the Bible with someone else. And it helped with football because they're right there. You know, hey, you want to study the Bible? Yeah, I'll study the Bible. Couple Bible studies in, they're like, I don't know if this is for me, or they just kind of lose the motivation, right?
Right.
And it's kind of the same way here with Gideon. A lot of the army just isn't committed. But that's okay, because God is an amazing God and he has the strength to do anything. And we're going to see that Gideon is starting to realize that. Despite being hesitant, despite being afraid, because I can be afraid, I can be hesitant, right? And that's okay. As long as we don't let it consume us.
That's right.
As long as we don't let that dictate the decisions we make. We need to have faith that God is in control. And that he's going to make everything okay. Might not be the right word, but I think you guys know the point I'm trying to get across, right?
Right.
So that's what God's plan looks like right there, before we read it. Blowing trumpets with torches, storming a camp of thousands of people. And it's kind of funny looking, honestly.
Yeah.
Not exactly my strategy, but like I said earlier, God's plan is normally not what we would initially want or what we would think would be good. And Gideon's starting to realize that here too. So let's go ahead and read verses 15 through 16. He's been encouraged, right? By this point, he hears a dream from a Midianite in their camp when God tells him, go over there, you're going to be encouraged. He hears this dream. They're basically saying that Israel is going to conquer the Midianites. And he's like, man, all right, I'm encouraged. Let's do this. And this is his response. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands, dividing the 300 men into three companies. He placed trumpets and empty jars into the hands of all of them, with torches inside. Okay? I mean, again, not my first choice, but God, he's creative and he can do what he wants. Gideon needed encouragement. So God told them to listen to this dream. And when Sydney and I were studying the Bible at MC, we needed help. God sent over some soldiers for us. He sent over Tevin, right, to start doing some amazing things in JSU. And it's only the beginning. I might not be going to school right now, but I can sense the momentum. I could sense that God's going to do some amazing things in Jackson. Jackson State, Mississippi College, UMMC, I got it right that time. He's going to do some amazing things. And God sent Pura over to encourage Gideon, right? To help him. And I think every Gideon needs a Pura, every David needs a Jonathan, every Moses needs an Aaron. Because we can't do it by ourselves. And that's something we're going to talk about a little bit here. In a second. Do I want to show? Yeah, I'll show it now. So this is the map of the battle. Okay? So this is where it starts. And then the Midianites flee all the way down over here. Now this is the Sea of Galilee, right? The Jordan River right here. And then we don't get to this point of the story yet, you know, because we just don't have the time. But the Midianites, they're out of there. They're like, no, we're gone. And this is the Lord's army right here throughout the rest of the story. But I just thought it would be helpful to see some context. You guys can read this stuff here. Tribes gather, the battle, Gideon pursues the enemy.
Right.
All the story's there. So let's go ahead and continue reading. This is going to be the last scriptures we're going to look at in verses 17 through 24. What ends up happening, right? Okay, Gideon, they got the torches. They got the trumpets. What's the result? Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew the trumpets and the jars that were in their hands and broke the jars. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. So God has given Gideon victory by this point. Let's continue reading.
Yeah.
When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Sheba toward Zerah as far as the border of Abel Mahola near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Those were all the purple lines right there. Gideon sent messengers throughout the whole the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Bara." Okay, where's that picture? There we go. God's plan.
Yeah.
God has given Gideon victory. Despite being afraid, despite being hesitant, because Gideon was obedient and went in the strength he had.
Amen.
He was able to bring glory to God. Gideon did a complete 180. Complete 180.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a scripture I wanted to turn to. In chapter 6, you don't have to turn there because we already read it. But Gideon says, "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Right? Does not sound very confident.
No.
No.
That's why.
And then later in chapter 7, get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands.
Amen.
He says, watch me. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do.
Wow. Yeah.
Talk about the transformation.
Yeah.
This is the transformation that God can have in our lives. Amen. If we go in the strength we have. Not because we're so strong, but God is that powerful.
That's right.
Let's go in the strength we have. Let's change the city of Jackson and inspire others around us. Just how God changed Gideon to a warrior. Thank you, and to God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.